We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Hey, got a fight. Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I'm going to tell you this, boys. Fortnite is good. Fortnite is good. I'm currently borrowing.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you hit the button or something.
You hit a button or something, Riv, and you're gone. Oh, nope. My. No.
Fortnite is not good.
Fortnite is not good. It's just goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, that video games are the devil. Yeah. And Riz is having a hell of a time. Those things lasted about 10 seconds. Anyway, Riv called in brought in the lefty late in the game, the closer, to help him with his headset. His son came in, gave him the Fortnite something X headphones, top of the line, good. Mint condition. No. You want to give us a test 1, 2?
A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. How about that?
You're back to the echo. Anyway, so our captain isn't leading by good example today. Speaking of captains, I do have to throw this out there because I am looking forward to seeing this. Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the first of three episodes of the Captain Circle with Jack Eichel and Josh Allen will be available to watch on Sunday, July 19th on the Sabres and Bills YouTube channels and Facebook pages. So make sure you tune in so you can.
Oh no, we got a PD for you now.
No. Make sure you tune in so you can check this out. I'm looking forward to seeing this because, you know, like, you have two franchise players. Right. I mean, I'm not even a Monday morning quarterback. I take everything the Monday morning quarterbacks say and I bring it to the table on Tuesday. I'm a Tuesday morning quarterback. That's when I can give you my honest opinion after I've seen games and stuff. But this guy here, what we have here in Buffalo with Josh Allen, you look around the excitement around the league. You know, I follow football analysts on Twitter. You have One Bills Live and the hype around Josh Allen. Obviously Jack Eichel taking off last year. I think we can all say that he took his game last year from potential superstar to superstar. I mean, he had some phenomenal young seasons, but last year, I mean, he had the entire league talking, you know, MVP candidate for this player with what he did through his streak and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to hearing from these two guys. And from what I understand and what I've learned of it, is it's a very candid kind of laid back conversation, which is what I enjoy most when you get to see athletes in their, I don't want to say their true environment, but maybe comfort talking to someone very freely. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is going to be awesome. So Sunday, as you pointed out, 7 p.m. on both the Bills and the Sabres YouTube channels and Facebook pages. It is definitely something to mark down your calendar. Now, I just want to go back to Jack Eichel quickly and his streak this year. 17 games point streak. Unfortunately, he had to miss the one, and then it was, you know, the whole debate, should the point streak continue or not, and the league doesn't recognize the point streak if it's not consecutive teams games played. But 17 games, 16 goals and 15 assists, 31 points. Okay? 16 goals in 17 games. You go back to Patrick Kane, 26 games point streak. He had 16 goals in 26 games. Jack Eichel had 16 goals in 17 games. That is where the point streak to me was so dominating from a Jack Eichel point of view that he had 16 goals in 17 games. Now, I know he had, what was it, 4 goals against Ottawa that one game in the streak. So that's, you know, kind of throws it away a little bit in that sense. But still, to be able to score 16 goals in 17 games and be able to contribute every night, that's amazing.
But Marty, can I add something to that 4-goal game? Weren't they the only 4 goals by the team?
Yeah, they won 4-1.
They won 4-1. He had all 4 goals. So it's not like it was like a 10-3 game and he got goal 6, 7, and 9. You know, he got goal number 1, 6, 7, and 9.
That was called Chatan back in
that
the
was
day.
Also called the Thomas Vanek used to call that the Jason Pominville hat trick.
Oh,
like,
that's brutal. It was the
Chatan before. No. He used to say it was, I mean, it was an ongoing joke. It was harmless, but it was like, oh, Palmer, he scores 8-3. Palmer gets 6-7.
But anyway,
you're right, Marty.
You're 16 goals in 17 games.
But you're right. You're right. I mean, that point streak was incredible. It was an incredible run. I mean, I very much compare that to that Patrick Kane. What did you say he had? Was it 20? How many games? 20?
26 games.
26 games.
He had 16 goals and 24 assists. Yeah. And I remember when Patrick Kane got that streak, he ended up getting assists on empty net goals, I think, to go to 26. Like, I think somewhere in the late teens and early 20 games, he had to have a point late in the game, and he got, like, an empty net assist that kept his streak going.
Marty,
mean, 26 games is amazing. Don't get me wrong. Yes.
Marty, look up Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall, what did he have? Did he not have
he had
23?
No, he had 19, but again, he was hurt. So
right.
He didn't count the whole thing. Like, he just counted the games that he played consecutively with his team. But I think it went up to in the 20s if you consider the time before his injury and the time after his injury.
Yeah. So what was his point totals in his run? Let's just say, because he wasn't out for a long time, right?
Well, he had 26 points in 19 games. Again, Jack Eichel had 31 points in 17 games. He had 5 more points than Taylor Hall. And the year that Taylor Hall got his streak, that's the year that he won MVP. Right?
Yes.
We were all like, man, this streak is amazing. 19 games, point streak, 26 points. He's doing everything for the New Jersey Devils. They made the playoffs. And that year, Taylor Hall was MVP. If the Sabres had got themselves close to a playoff spot or even limp into the playoffs or maybe even in the 2014 return to play, then Jack Eichel's performance this year could have been compared to Taylor Hall's MVP season.
No question, Marty. If the Sabres make the playoffs this year, this past year, I what do you mean? He's not even – he wins.
All right. Well, it's hard to overlook Draisaitl right now.
Yes, Dreisaitl deserves it. He deserves it. It's undeniable. Do I think Jack Eichel should have been in the top five of this conversation? You can argue. Look at Artemi Panarin, what Artemi Panarin did in for the Rangers. I mean, breathtaking season. Look at Nate MacKinnon, what he did in Colorado. Look at, you know, obviously Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
And Dreisaitl. But Jack Eichel is without question in the top five in this discussion. Whether he deserves to win it, that's arguable. But I'll tell you this, like you said, Petey, if Jack Eichel takes his team and they make the playoffs, like I'm not talking the play-in, I'm not being the Montreal Canadiens, the 24th team in the league. I'm talking about making the top 16.
Yeah, but
if he does that, now you have more of a discussion with Jack Eichel.
Okay, well, how about this? Some people are talking about Artemi Panarin being maybe a front runner for MVP. I don't think he is, but the New York Rangers were 11th in the East. They would not have made the playoffs. So I'm saying if the Buffalo Sabres would have been in the 24 teams, you would have been able to consider Jack Eichel in the same way you would consider Artemi Panarin to be one of the top MVP guys. Panarin's New York Rangers, they did all right, but they were not in a playoff spot when the season paused. They were a couple of points out, but I think you consider it the same way.
I agree.
And
I agree with that completely. I think Panarin.
Chris, were you the one that explained that said, if you switch Connor McDavid with Leon Draisaitl this year, and Connor McDavid was the one with 120 some points and, you know, 15 or 16 points better. Okay, so Draisaitl has 110. So if McDavid had 110 and Draisaitl was at 97, we would all give Connor McDavid the MVP. We would say
question.
He's the best player. Hey, he's dominated the field. So I think we got to give Draisaitl the same respect and
no
say
question.
He's the best player.
No question about it. Like, it's undeniable that Leon Draisaitl has had a MVP season. He has been absolutely incredible for the Edmonton Oilers. You know, I don't look at it as, you know, Leon Draisaitl and say, the only reason he's, getting 110 points is because he plays with McDavid. That's not it at all. Leon Draisaitl is a star in this league. Not just a star. He is a megastar in this league right now. He deserves the credit.
Marty, anything you want to add to that before I shift gears here?
No, I just love the sound of Riv's voice and these headphones. And Riv, what are you eating right now? Like apples or French fries?
Apple.
It looked like one of those like flat wedges French fries. I'm like, hey, it's 10, 12 in the morning. Why not have poutine? That would be great.
You think a body like this is eating fries at 10 o'clock in the morning, Marty?
Yes.
At times.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, if not this early, then definitely very late at night. Instigators.
Usually after 12.
Instigators. WGR 550, Marty Biron, Andrew Peters, Craig Gervais. So, as I mentioned at the start of the show, it kind of got us here. We were talking Jack Eichel, Hart Trophy, Captain Circle, presented by Labatt Blue Light. First of three episodes is going to feature Jack Eichel, Josh Allen, and will be available to watch on Sabres and Bills YouTube channels and Facebook pages Sunday, July 19th at 7 p.m. So make sure you tune into that. You were talking Edmonton Oilers, talking captains. Riv, you were a captain, Connor McDavid, yesterday, talking about the team being together for the first time since Colby Cave passed. Other teams like Philadelphia and Oscar Lindblom have incentive and motivation from within their players. Marty, I'm sure you have some stories, but Riv, I know you were in Montreal when Saku went through his cancer treatments and he returned to play. Can this be enough for teams like Edmonton and Philadelphia to give them the boost they need emotionally to win a championship?
Well, there's no question. I can only, you know, obviously, very sad news about Colby. I was I went through it firsthand with a teammate of mine. Saku Koivu was diagnosed with cancer. I'll still remember the day. My wife went to pick up Saku and his wife that was flying in from Finland. My wife went to pick up the Koivus at the airport that day. Saku was so sick on the way over on the flight that my wife drove Saku directly to the hospital. A couple days later, Saku was diagnosed with cancer. That was in early September, late August. And then just seeing Saku go through his treatment from September, October, November, December, January, February into March, I witnessed Saku go from an extremely, extremely powerful, strong man to a frail mirror image of himself, you know, battling for his life. And I mean, to see Saku on his very first game back, the standing ovation, the fans would not sit down. They applauded for 20 plus minutes. The goosebumps that I had that night, seeing him step on the ice for a starting lineup with his bald head still, he still couldn't grow back his hair. To see that on the ice, it was the most memorable game that I'll ever be a part of. And you know, it believe me, that the players on our team rallied around that emotion with Saku, and big part of our team. I'll never forget that day.
Well, that is amazing. And the amazing part of that story is the fact that Saku was on the ice with you guys in the locker room with you guys, and every day you showed up at the rink and you could see him and see what he had to go through and what was going on. The big thing here when you talk about Colby Cave and then you talk about Oscar Lindblom is that none of, unfortunately, especially in the Colby's story, I mean, he passed away in April after, you know, he suffered a what they called an obstructive hydrocephalus due to a cyst. But so he had surgery, and it was extremely upsetting and sad, but he's not around. So yes, it's going to be weird when the guys get together the first time, and maybe they have his jersey hanging in the locker room, but he's not there, and that is hard. Like when you, like Oscar Lindblom is on the ice, was on the ice in phase two skating a little bit. He's preparing for next season. He's not returning this year, but he's around. He's joking with the guys. You know, Saku was around and part of the locker room, and you could see, you're like, man, like he looks frail and he doesn't have his hair, but he's there. And you can have a positive outlook of it and, you know, overcoming such a big step. But for the Edmonton Oilers, this is going to be really, really emotional, really tough. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I lived it a little bit. It wasn't the same, but, you know, we lost Derek Boogaard during the off season with the Rangers. And when we showed up the next year, obviously it was a little different when Boogie wasn't in the locker room. You know, so, but it's a little bit surreal, and especially if there's a lot of time in between. Like this happened in April, we're in July, so it's been 3 months that it's happened. So it's definitely going to revisit some tough moments for some of the guys.
Well, sorry, Riv, it looked like you were just about to say something.
I was just going to say about, you know, Oscar Lindblom. He's a fantastic young player for the Philadelphia Flyers. He was having a tremendous season. Yeah. And, you know, obviously being you know, diagnosed with, you know, Ewing's sarcoma, which is an extremely, extremely rare form of bone cancer, it really hit home with me because that was the type of cancer that my son had. And when I had heard this about Oscar Lindbaum, it really, I mean, there's so many emotions that went through my body, went through my mind, because I had dealt with that with my son. I had went through the treatments with my son. I know the hurdles that you need to fight through in order to, you know, beat this form of cancer. It's I know what that young man has had to go through and is going through. He's certainly a long ways away. I really was happy when I saw him skate for the first time. And, you know, we talked about this before the show. And I told a story about my young son coming back from, you know, a 5-day treatment, and what that does for the morale of the person. My son, I allowed him to skate on my outdoor rink for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I wrapped him like a Band-Aid with every toque and scarf and triple the socks, and I had him wrapped up like he was a walking little mummy, and I allowed him to go and skate with his older brother, because his eyes lit up when he came home and I pulled into the driveway. He was almost lifeless driving home from the hospital that day after the treatment that he had gone through. And when we pulled into the driveway and he saw his older brother at the time on the outdoor rink, his eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. And he said, "Dad, can I go skate?" And I'm looking at him like, I don't think that's a good idea in my mind. But I think his soul, I think for his psyche, that he needed the opportunity to go skate with his brother. And I wrapped him up, like I said, with every piece of outdoor clothing to make sure that he was protected. And I gave him 5 minutes with his brother on the ice. And then after, we took him in the house and made sure that, you know, he was, you know, in the proper environment. But he needed that. And Oscar Lindbaum, to be on the ice, to see the players that are watching Oscar Lindbaum, because they know what he's going through. It does wonders to a team. It does wonders to a team.
Well, these two teams that we are talking about, that you're saying that these kind of inspirations could do wonders for, were two teams that were on the rise. I mean, Edmonton, their roster was in serious question at the start of the year. Here they are, second in their division. Philadelphia was 9-1 in their last 10 before the pause, and they were starting to become one of the, I don't even want to say they were, you know, the dark horse, but they were the team that everyone's kind of saying, look out for this Philadelphia team. They're playing real hockey, and they were starting to play real hockey at the right time.
Yeah, and when you look at Philly, I think going 9-1 in their last 10 before the pause, it put them in a really, really, really nice position that now they're in the top four in the division, in the conference. So they don't have to battle it out in the best of five return to play. They're going to be moving on to round one of the playoffs because of that. If they go 7-3, they don't get in. The Pittsburgh Penguins would have been in instead of the Philadelphia Flyers. And going 7-3 in 10 games is really good. You know, Pittsburgh went 3-7.
Yeah, they went 3-7.
So that's a big turnaround right there. So instead of having a Pennsylvania team that is from Pittsburgh, you have the other Pennsylvania team in Philly sneaking in there and being in the top four.
And Let me ask you.
I'm a big fan of, like, one of those top four teams getting the advantage in round one, two, and moving into the playoffs, because they don't have to put it all on the line in the best of five. They can even rest players if they want to.
Let me ask you something, boys. Did the Philadelphia Flyers make the playoffs last year? No. I mean in 2018-19.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know why they didn't make the playoffs?
You tell me then, Marty.
Because they used 27 goaltenders until they called up Carter Hart.
Okay. Great. Is that the only reason?
Well, what else would you say?
I would say, you know, when I looked at the Philadelphia Flyers, I would look at their team as a team that has key pieces, okay? They have younger players, Travis Konecny, who is now has had his come out party, who led the team in points this year, 61 points in 66 games. You needed that young man to take a big step, and he did it. You have a Sean Couturier, Jake the Snake Voracek, Claude Giroux. They had their top four pieces, okay? Konecny, Couturier.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. You haven't even mentioned him yet.
Oh, my brother. Here we go. Do they have a good defense corps, Marty? They have their Ian Provorov.
Ivan Provorov.
Is his name Ivan or Ian?
Ivan.
There's a V. I-V.
Listen,
it's Ivan Drago.
We're making him an American.
Okay, well, you're doing great. Keep going. You're killing.
So what I'm trying to say is they had the Travis Sanheim, very young player. They had the Ivan Provorov, young stud. So now what I'm trying to say is what did the Philadelphia Flyers do in the offseason in 2018-19? What did they do to say, hey?
They got a second-line center.
Stop, Petey. It's my turn. What did they do, Marty?
They overpaid for Kevin Hayes.
Did they? Did they overpay for Kevin Hayes, Martin?
Yes, they did.
He had 23 goals in 69 games, Marty.
I get that.
Oh, you do get that. So what is the reason for them going from a non-playoff team? I'm not done, Marty.
Go.
You can have your time. What did they do as an organization? What did they say? What did they need? They needed a player or two, James Van Riemsdyk, Kevin Hayes. Oh, they went and picked up a veteran defenseman in Matt Niskanen. And now all of a sudden you bring in three players to add to your young core. And where are they now, Marty?
They're in the top four of the Eastern Conference.
They are a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, I think I might have picked them to win when the playoffs were starting, just with the way they were playing. They're a tough team to play against.
Do you know how close the Sabres are? If you don't, you are crazy. This team right here in Philadelphia is basically the Sabres. But the Sabres are missing two guys in the forward line, and they're missing a certain style defenseman on the defense corps.
Yeah. And if we want to go back to our Twitter poll yesterday,
I dropped the mic.
75.9% buy that the Sabres are more than one piece away from being a playoff team.
Okay, let me just ask you this, Ribs. What are you paying Sam Reinhart?
$6 million.
Okay. So if you were to pay Sam Reinhart $7.5 million, would that be overpaid?
Yes.
Okay. So Kevin Hayes in 450 NHL games has 270 points with 115 goals. Okay. Sam Reinhart, I got to find it here, in 400 NHL games has 255 points with 109 goals. Sam Reinhart has more points, more goals per game, more points per game than Kevin Hayes. Kevin Hayes makes $7.5 million on a 7-year deal. Well, 7.1. So you're telling me that Kevin Hayes is not overpaid in Philly?
Is he overpaid in Philly is what you're asking me. I'm going to answer, no, he's not overpaid because he is a key piece to the team making major strides moving forward. Is he a $7.1 million player? No, I don't believe he is. But for that team and what he brings to the team, they can justify. Is James Van Riemsdyk a $7 million player? I don't believe he is, but on that team, he makes the team better.
Yeah, but my point is that right now, what we also have to look at is the Philadelphia Flyers are in one of the biggest market. They have a ton of revenues, much more than the Sabres do, and they may be able to overspend on players like Van Riemsdyk and Hayes to fill in the gaps. I don't know that the Sabres can overspend on that player. They have to manage their budget and their cap in a much better way.
We got to go to break, but JJ hit the nail on the head right here. Hayes got paid that because he was a UFA also. So they might have had to, you know, what's another $500,000?
You know what? Here's the thing. 3-4 years ago, the Philadelphia Flyers sucked. But what they did is they developed their younger players. And then there's a point in time when you have to go and make your team better. Jack Eichel, 5 years in the league. Sam Reinhart, 5 years in the league. Victor Olofsson is a young man that came out of nowhere. He was on pace for 30 goals this year. We have a Jeff Skinner who has scored multiple 30-goal seasons, multiple 20-goal seasons. We have Rasmus Dahlin, who's going into his third year. We have a Joki Harju, we have a Rasmus Ristolainen that's waiting for this team to get better. This team right now has developed into a strong core. It needs to be added to, and this team will be a very dangerous team.
Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators, if there's an asterisk next to winning this year's Stanley Cup, it is because it was harder than ever before, not easier. Do Craig and Marty agree? Find out on the other side of the break. Instigators, WGR 550. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Instigators. Marty Biron, Craig Revay, Andrew Peters on WGR 550. We're all available on social media at Craig Revay 52, at the Instigators if you'd like to reach me, at Marty Biron 43, at WGR 550. I don't know how many more ats I can do. There's a few more on there. Something just happened to my screen here. No big deal. So let me just ask you this before we get into the buy sell trade. Ryan Ellis. Riv, do you put an asterisk next to the winning this year's Stanley Cup, whether it's really an asterisk or not? Do you have a different thought that this cup would be easier or harder to win than any other?
I will not put an asterisk beside this year. That being said, I 100% agree with Ryan Ellis that this Stanley Cup will be the hardest Stanley Cup in the history of the game. With having the layoffs, having the players have to continue to train to make sure that they're in proper shape to come in, the long layoff of not skating, not having the ability to, not every one of these pro athletes has a gym in their house. Normally you don't have gyms in your house. So what do you have to use? You're squatting your kids? Like, what are you doing to try and make sure that you're staying in the greatest shape possible? This year will be very, very interesting to watch. The thing that I'm going to be looking for is once they start to continue to get into play, and once you start to reach, you know, August and maybe into September, I want to know how many players are going to start to get injured. And I mean by, you know, muscle pulls, back strain, pulled your groin, stuff like that, hip flexor issues, because they have not skated at an elite level for a very long time. And I think that there is going to be injuries to certain players that are going, it's going to make this very, very difficult for a lot of teams.
I think, listen, it's not going to get any easier, that's for sure. But for me, it's the same. Every cup has its own set of challenges. That it is a pandemic, that teams are in bubbles, that it is that you're dealing with injury, that you're dealing with being down 3-0 and overcoming it to win in 7. Every cup has its own challenge. That you're a expansion team like the Vegas Golden Knights and you make it to the finals the first year. Every cup has its own challenges. So I'm not going to say that whoever wins the cup this year, that was harder than St. Louis last year, or that was harder than Washington 2 years ago. I am not going to say that because they're all hard.
Well, that brings us to our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. So Ryan Ellis says probably it's going to be harder. I think a lot of people would agree that it's going to be harder. So with that being said, buy, sell, trade, this will be the most interesting playoffs to watch ever. I throw the word ever in there. I think we all like to kind of throw sentences like, yeah, it was the greatest day ever. But, you know, this will be the most interesting playoff to watch. Buy, sell, trade.
I'm going to buy this, not go first. You know why? An interesting, the return to play is going to be very interesting with games going on at all times of the day, 3 games a day in each hub and all of that. But no fans, no game press, no, like, arena noise. It is going to definitely be interesting. I've been watching MLS soccer, no fans. I watch Premier League, no fans. Watching Formula One, no fans. It's interesting when they pan out and you see that there's nobody around. You know, in Formula One, they showed people on the side of a cliff getting with binoculars, being able to see it in Austria because that's the only way they could do it. But it is going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be the most interesting for that reason.
100% buying this. This is a no-brainer. People right now have never in their entire lives craved hockey more than what they do right now. I think I cannot wait until I see that first game on TV. Am I worried about there not being fans in the stands? No. I don't give a rat's behind if there's fans in the stands. I'm watching the product that's on the ice. I cannot wait to see these play-in games, the first 16 teams. I think it's going to be...
The fans are the difference in the playoffs, Riv. What are you talking about?
You don't think they're going to...
Do you know why I watch Winnipeg Jets playoff games?
Because of the white.
Because of the fans.
Yep, see a white.
Their fans are ridiculous. Do you know why I watch? Like, there are certain games I watch around the league, and it has nothing to do with, like, here's the thing. Carolina, if I tune in, if I'm flicking through the channel late at night and Carolina's playing, I'll check in to see if they're winning because I'll want to see that stupid thing they're doing at the end of the game. But I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I'm dialed in.
Marty, do you know is there going to be some sort of simulated fans in the stands? Are they going to?
While you were on hiatus, they have talked about how they're going to do it. Marty's better fit to explain it than I am.
Please do. This is going to complete my point, Petey. Go ahead, Marty.
They're not going to have simulated fans. They're not going to have anything in the arena. Now, for the TV, they will and may have
simulated fans in the stands.
No, they may have enhanced game sounds, but they're not going to have people like, what do you call them, CGI or whatever it is in the stands. They're going to use that space for advertising and all of that, but they will do like sound, like game sound that they will incorporate in the games on the TV. And also, they've asked fans from teams to send in celebration videos so that they can use for the broadcast. So that if the New York Islanders score, like you show yourself in your man cave or in your living room celebrating in your Islanders gear, and they will use that for the broadcast.
Okay, so what I'm asking is, so when we're watching the game on TV, what is in the stands? Are they going to simulate fans sitting in the stands as the game's going on?
Like mannequins and dolls of such?
No, they're not. They may use it for advertising. They're still trying to figure that out.
So they're basically gonna black out the stands.
They're not gonna black them out.
Did you guys ever play American League exhibition games where there were literally nobody there? You play them in like a house league rink that didn't even have stands, that just parents could stand around the boards and watch.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
And they took 4 hours to play the
like
game.
Like an inter-squad game at training camp. It's basically like it's a mid-level NHL game, a high-level inter-squad scrimmage, okay? Yeah. You have the body contact. Are we going to have fights where you can actually like hear the...
Well, not only that, but
like the punching of the,
you get into a fight, you're in the corner, you're cross-checking somebody, they cross-check you back, the fans start slamming on the glass, the crowd goes up and they're like, oh, it's going to happen. And that boils your blood, right? It gets you going. You're like, and then you drop the gloves and you go like, what's going to happen now? Guys are going to fight and it's going to be like crickets. Absolutely.
I know you only had one stage fight in your life, Marty, but I'll tell you what. You can't hear the fans. You can't hear the fans when you're fighting, but you can hear them when you win. You can hear them when you win.
Can't hear the fans, but it's different if they're not there. You can't feel the silence.
And you don't want to hear them if you lose on the road, that's for sure. But no, Marty, I'm making a joke, but you're absolutely right.
I don't remember the fans. When we got in the brawl and I fought Ray and you came in, I don't remember the fans yelling and screaming, but I can tell you this. If there was nobody in the building, I would definitely have noticed the silence.
What I always found amazing, and you're going to hear this. I mean, I would love to know how they're going to drown out the sounds of the game, because there are sounds of the game. Like, I sometimes think now microphones are way too close to the game. You can hear all the passes, every ice cut with the skate blade. I mean, you can hear the talking, the swearing, which, you know, I love and everything. But now, I mean, you even think about it when you guys go back to playing. Like, it's amazing how everyone can say, oh, my God, the crowd was so deafening, you couldn't hear anything. But when you're on the ice, you can hear guys calling for pucks. You can hear coaches calling for you. You can hear things. I've always found that to be amazing. But they're going to have to drown out some really crazy noise.
Well, before we go to break, because I know we have to hit the break soon, I watch Premier Soccer on the NBC Sports app, and you could do two ways. You can do it with enhanced sound, which basically had crowd noises that was filtered in, or you can watch it with just natural sound. They call it nat sound. Natural sound. And that's it. And I thought it was interesting. You could hear like the ball hitting the foot.
Yeah.
Guys call for the ball. You can hear guys sliding into the grass. Like That was really interesting. So I can't tell you which one I like better because I didn't really know which one I like better, but it was interesting to go back and forth between the two.
So what you're saying to me is you want to hear the players and the sound of the skates and the shot, the slap of the puck. Like, you want to hear that?
I want to say that I would love if they have a couple of different feeds, and one was just no crowd noise put in at all. And I think that would be very cool. But anyway.
Well, what would be very cool is to hear what the actual players are saying on the ice.
Yeah.
That would be very cool.
Oh, I think every player should be mic'd up every game. Like, and just absolutely. Everyone dialed into the same at the same time.
Could you imagine Patty Coletta? Can you imagine Patty Coletta being mic'd? He'd be in jail right now.
Oh, you'll never use it live. They can't.
Best trash talker in the history of the game.
No, he's not.
I've had some amazing things said to me. Amazing.
Oh, me too. Like I love it.
We gotta go to break.
The worst is when they say it in front of your bench, Riv. And all your teammates hear it. And you're just kind of like, oh my God, I gotta try to get him back, but I don't know that I can. All right. We're gonna go to break. Instigators, WGR 550. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the Instigators here. The Craig Revay Technological Symposium will be taking place next week.
You know what's great, Petey?
I have no idea what's happening. I see myself three different times on my screen. I've got myself at a different angle.
Riz is sharing his screen with us. So what we're seeing is not our screen, it's Riv's screen.
Really?
Yes.
So Riv's. This is like a moment from Spaceballs for me. When will then be now? This is Spaceballs when they're looking at the screen. Fast forward to now.
Yes.
Riv,
I don't know what's going on here.
We can see that.
So we got some technical difficulties with my kid's Fortnite headset. And I don't know what's going on here, but
I'm
surprised how much you know about a computer, Marty. You were telling me where to go and what to do and all this.
Listen, Riv, last week we did a Zoom call for some Amerik season ticket holders, and there was seven or eight of us on there, and the two most technologically inept people on the call were myself and Pat Coletta, and we couldn't figure out how to download the backdrop for the sponsor. So we were the only two guys who had our houses in the background. Everyone else had a blue backdrop with the Rochester Institute of something sponsoring us. So you're not alone, but you're a lot worse than a lot of us, but I'm not good either. You're terrible.
Something, Petey. The Institute of Something. I love it.
Petey, it was not Petey. It was Orthopedics. I can't remember what it was. All right. We got to go. I'm out of here. Riv, you might want to fix this for the next hour. And we really are like a Seinfeld
curb your enthusiasm.
Look at what you're doing.
And now we gotta go.
Fortnite was great to start, and now we blame Fortnite all the way back at the end of this hour. Instigators, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for everything that's gone on. Craig's back, if you haven't been able to notice. Craig's back. WGR 550, stick around.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.